On today's SRI podcast, we continue our discussion with Larry Langbrake. Larry is the director of SRI International's Marine Technology Program. In an earlier podcast, we talked with Larry about the things people need to know about the Gulf oil spill. In this program, we'll explore the spill in greater detail and discuss SRI's role in solving the crisis. Larry, tell me about SRI's mass spectrometer and how it is different from other devices out there.
Well, one of the things that we've been able to achieve with our mass spectrometer is an ability to quantify hydrocarbons. Most of the mass specs out there are others that have mass spectrometers that go in the water. Most of those can qualitatively measure hydrocarbons, essentially telling you whether they're present. But they're not designed, or nor are they calibrated in such a way to quantify what's actually there. So quantifying the hydrocarbon concentrations is very, very important if we are going to be able to answer the broader questions, scientific questions, of how these hydrocarbons affect the biota, how they affect the microscale, the bacteria, the flagellates, the ciliates, etc., all the way up to the nectin and the fish. We have got to understand something first about what the concentration of those hydrocarbons are. So this particular sensor is unique in that it can measure hydrocarbon concentrations, as well as simultaneously measuring other important parameters such as CO2 levels and oxygen levels, etc.
What happens when there is a big influx of hydrocarbons? Can SRI's mass spec measure the hydrocarbons in the water column? If so, can you please elaborate on how that's done?
Well, first of all, what we really would like to do is, try to quantify in three dimensions the extent of hydrocarbon presence. We know that especially because of the dispersants that are being added, the oil is being distributed throughout the water column. So one of the things that really needs to be answered soon is the extent of the 3D plume, if you will. I really don't want to call it a plume. It's really just determining the hydrocarbon presence in three dimensions and looking at the concentration. If we can put that picture together and then begin to understand how it's changing, we can then predict where the oil is going, what its concentrations might be in the future, and what impact those concentrations might have on the environment.
Where do you plan on taking the mass spec this year, and what do you plan to do with it?
Our first goal, of course, is to deploy the instrument where we've deployed it before and make direct comparative analyses. But then the next step is to begin to extend beyond that point and begin to look at what we would predict to be the outer fringes of the suspended hydrocarbons, and then work our way closer towards the spill, quantifying along the way the concentrations of the hydrocarbons and using that data in models that can help us predict where the hydrocarbons are going, what their concentrations are, how they're interacting with the environment, and what impact they might have on the marine life that's there.
In regard to the logistics of all of this, talk about the vessel you'll be using to take out the mass spec.
There are lots of marine research vessels that are already responding to the spill. And we will not be using any one specific vessel. Our first deployment is on the research vessel Pelican, which is operated out of Louisiana. They're a consortium of marine research universities. It's called LUMCOM. Typically, these research excursions will include a number of experiments that are of interest to a broad number of scientists. And we collaborate with them, pull our information together, and focus on pulling that information into salient results.
What specific questions are going to need to be asked to refine or develop the mitigation plan?
Well, that's a very good question. The sensitive environmental areas along the coastline are of utmost concern right now. If you're going to have oil, whether it's subsurface or surface, that's encroaching on an estuary, we really need to watch that very closely. And so being able to quantify what is happening not only on the surface but also underwater, even in shallow water, water that's less than 100 feet deep. What's happening there, and is oil being carried through natural processes and currents towards some of these sensitive areas? That is right now about the biggest concern with regard to the environmental impact of the oil. But later, the impact on the food web. The food web is highly complex, and to some extent, this spill is offering an opportunity to better understand the food web. The oil that is coming from the Deepwater Horizon well is unique in that certain isotopes of carbon and nitrogen within that oil have a certain marker, have a certain fingerprint. And that fingerprint can be monitored all the way through the entire food web. So, unfortunate as this accident is, it does actually provide an opportunity for us to better understand the food web in the Gulf of Mexico. And from that, we will be able to better predict what's going on with the food, with the overall food chain, and hopefully be able to answer some of the tough questions about whether the seafood is safe to eat or not.
Lastly, I just want to ask if there are other aspects of what's happening with this spill and your involvement that we haven't talked about.
Well, it certainly offers an opportunity for the scientific community to come together and focus on a broad range of issues and concerns. We as a community of scientists have struggled for years to, you know, build systems to monitor the underwater domain, to help provide data for us to better model it. It's similar, if you will, to weather stations on the surface. We have weather stations all across the country. We can take data from that. We can understand patterns of air mass flow. We can understand storms more thoroughly. But we don't really have that kind of capability well established in the ocean. There's some of it there, but it's not well established. And there's a lot more that can be done and a lot more that needs to be done to better understand some of these processes and to better prepare us for these kinds of events in the future.
Today I've been speaking with Larry Langbrake in the second part of our two-part interview. We've been discussing the Gulf oil spill. I hope you've enjoyed today's SRI podcast. We'll be talking to other experts in future podcasts.